In the 35th chapter of the prophet Isaiah, we hear how God comes to bring people relief and help, sight to the blind, vision restored. Then you're talking about those who are lame, not just walking, but dancing, those who are deaf being able to hear. The gospel according to Mark chapter 7 that we have this evening, Jesus does just that to the deaf man and also repairs his speech impediment. These passages point to us of the reality how Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. It brought certainly great delight to the people of God, especially those who were very keen on Scripture and were very knowledgeable about what that meant and knew that it was speaking of the one who was to come. What if I were to tell you, though, that these readings were to point to something more? Aside from being the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies, what if I were to say that Jesus Christ here is demonstrating for us how it is that we are called to live? In the Gospel according to John, chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and will do greater ones than these, because I am going to the Father." How is that possible? Well, actually, the first question is, well, what works is Jesus referring to here? And some may look at sacred scripture and the words of Jesus, and in order to make sense of that in the quote-unquote natural, they will simply say, well, perhaps what Jesus meant here, in terms of the works, is the way in which he preaches, or the way in which he is able to effectively convince others to share bread, such as the feeding of the 5,000, the miracle, so they call. It's actually a way that Jesus was able to get them to share, which makes absolutely sense. You know, that's why the people wanted to cart him off as the Messiah, because he taught them how to share. Sarcasm, right? And Jesus here is definitely proclaiming the miraculous. When the Jews wanted to stone him, Jesus spoke of the works in such a way as to help them come to terms with what it is that he said, and that is, he and the Father are one. In John 10, 37 to 38, we hear, "If I do not perform my Father's works, do not believe me. But if I perform them, even if you do not believe me, believe the works, so that you may realize and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father." So there's no way that mundane acts will convince the Jews that Jesus is divine. It's pointing to the miraculous, the signs, the wonders. Now, there is a lot to be said about healing, whether that's physical healing, inner healing, healing that happens down the generational line. The concept of healing seems to be wrought with a lot of skepticism and doubt, especially among Catholics. But that's not really at their fault, at our fault. I mean, how often do we hear about the theology of healing and how it is that God desires that for his people, not just in the past, but here and now? Sometimes we look at that with disdain because perhaps we have prayed for healing and have seen nothing happen or have seen things worse happen. And so we think that Jesus does not heal today. And so when we hear of those who believe that he does this today, it strikes a chord in their heart, a chord that they can't escape from, that they have to face. Because this dissonance within them causes a grievous disruption when it comes to our relationship with God. You see, when Jesus says the things he says, he does so for a reason, for a purpose. It's not because it's a nice tagline, something that you can print out, make as a beautiful bumper sticker. The words of Jesus are meant to give us access to all that is good, all that the Father has for us. One of the main enemies that come to healing deal with unforgiveness. If you're really interested about going more in depth about what that means, I've got the intergenerational healing preparatory talk that's still on the website. You can take a listen to it. It talks about why unforgiveness is so bad. But in a nutshell, anything that is of sin, anything that is not of God, a stronghold, a foothold is created in us, where the evil one is able to set up his camp and do what it is that he wants to do in us. And despite our attempts to be charitable, to be kind, to do godly things, if something that is not of God is residing in us and we are entertaining it, we are feeding it, we are allowing it to stay, then because of that, the healing that God desires for us won't come, if that's part of his plan. And it's not because God withholds his healing, rather because there is something that is occupying that place, prevents the healing from coming in. The phenomenon of healing is rather mysterious. It is both simple and complex at the same time. It is something that requires much patience. Sometimes when people hear that, you know, they want to be healed, they think that it will happen a certain way, or a certain time, or perhaps through certain means. And little do they exercise the virtue that is necessary for healing, humility. Sometimes we think because healing does not happen in a certain way or through my certain prayers, and therefore it's not going to happen at all. And of course, the only one who knows that is God alone. No, there are various opportunities and occasions by which we can receive that healing if we are open to it, if we are seeking it out, if we are earnest and trusting in the Lord. Three components that are necessary, it's not exhaustive, but they're quite essential: faith, humility, which I've spoken of in some detail, and persistence. Faith, because we know that when Jesus even visited his hometown and wasn't able to perform any mighty works and deeds there, how can we think that we can do something when even Jesus could not? So that faith has to be a necessary component. Now, it's not the be-all, end-all. Perhaps we've gone and tried to receive prayers of healing, and maybe someone erroneously has said to us, well, it's probably because you don't have enough faith. That's not always the case. That might be the case, but not always the case. So we want to be sure to make a note of that, just in case if someone might throw that at us. Some may argue to a degree that as they're coming forward to ask for prayers of healing, there is a degree of faith. But sometimes there might be an area in us that prevents us from really accessing more of that faith. Sometimes we don't have that expectant faith that is necessary. The expectant faith that we see and is often sometimes required are those situations when we find ourselves perhaps in sites that have been known for healing. Or perhaps if we know of a particular individual that has the charism of healing, we may find ourselves more believing that that will happen, that that will occur. Take an example of the situations where people would go and make pilgrimage to Lourdes, or maybe they go to Quebec, Saint-Anne-de-Beaupré. You know, in all these areas, there is an expectant faith that's within the individual's heart. They've heard of miracles, they've seen miracles, so they have that for themselves. Especially when they have heard or witnessed a miracle that pertains to them, then is their faith increased. But sometimes we don't have the faith for a number of reasons. Maybe we think that God indeed does heal today. We consent to that. But in terms of healing for my life, for me individually, no. Not that personal healing. But for everyone else, oh yeah, I believe that. And that can be a hindrance. There's another thing that can act as a roadblock, where we think that perhaps because I am the one who had caused the injury, whether I played football, or you know, I won this injury through a dare, or maybe because you know, I find myself having cancer because I've smoked for 20 plus years, that I say, well, God's not going to heal me. I mean, why bother asking him? I mean, after all, I'm the one at fault. I'm the one who caused this. And in actuality, we stunt the very mercy of God. We think that because of what we have done, God is not able to do anything. Or we choose not to have him do anything, although he may be desirous of doing it. And other times, going back to a little bit of what I've spoken of before, who may say, well, I've already offered my prayers. You know, I prayed my rosaries, I went to Mass and I had that prayer, and it doesn't seem to work. Well, again, that's why it's so important to have humility. You know, we might think that's some sense of piety that we have. You know, oh, I've asked God and He didn't grant it to me, so therefore it's not His will. Oh, shut up. You know, maybe it's because you aren't praying as you ought. Maybe it's because there's another way by which God wants to effect this miracle. You know, such as an example with a man by the name of Damien Stain. He's from England, and he is well known for healing ministry. And there was one time where he was called to fly to another country to teach about healing ministry and to offer healing ministry in the name of Jesus. And all of a sudden, his ear was not feeling right. It was very much in pain. He went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "Well, don't you dare travel. You know, as soon as you reach a certain altitude, your ear is going to explode. You know, you're going to put your life in danger if you travel." And so, knowing that God was still calling him to go to this country and offer this to them, he looked to his 8-year-old son and said, "Hey, son, can you pray for me? So I'll give you the words to pray for me, and just repeat them after me, and that'll be it. That'll be fine." And so Damien coached his son about what to pray, and he was healed. He was restored. He was able to move his jaw, where before any movement of the jaw would have caused a severe amount of pain. But then from that point on, it was fine. He was able to fly, offer his presentation, witness to the miracles of healing in the name of Jesus, and come back. You know, and his ear hadn't bothered him ever since. So sometimes it's because there's another venue by which we are to take. And we need to be open to that. We need to be persistent of that. Of course, always looking towards that which is godly, that which is good. You know, the bottom line in terms of healing is that we've got to make sure that we're all in. That we're all God's. And that's an easy thing to say. So that's why it's simple and complex, this notion of healing. It's simple in the fact that we have got to be all in. Complex because we make it complex, because we're complicated creatures, because we don't get it, what it means to be wholeheartedly given to God. You know, that's why Jesus gave the two commandments. You know, when the guy said, "What's the first and greatest commandment?" He's like, "You're not going to get it. I'm going to give you two so you can know what I'm talking about." And in the same vein, you know, when we think about, oh yeah, you know, I can be completely God, I can be all His, yeah, absolutely. You know, that means your life is no longer yours. It means everything belongs to Him. Your desires, your wants. And even though, you know, so some people, right, you know, so I mentioned that because sometimes people will be dabbling into something and they have no idea that it's an offense to God and think that everything is fine when it's not. You know, such as the practice of yoga, Reiki, crystals, you know, all those things. You know, we think, oh, that's probably nothing. It's probably nothing that's going to cause me harm. Well, it has. You know, and I can't get into detail now about testimonies of those who have been involved with those things, but, you know, I can tell you, at least very succinctly, that those who have received healing from those things and deliverance from those things have actually seen a significant improvement in their lives. So with those things, you know, we got to make sure, right, everything is entirely given to God. You know, and that's how the more of that opportunity of healing can occur. So I want to share with you this one account given by another man that was quite involved in healing ministry, he and his family. There's a man by the name of Robbie Dawkins. And he was traveling with his family, I know with his wife. I think he had two boys, maybe more. But they were making their way into the St. Peter's Basilica. And they were enjoying their time in Rome, and this man was rather large in stature, shall we say. And he was saying how, as they got in St. Peter's Basilica, he had saw how all the things were very ornate and very beautiful. And, you know, his wife noticed the same. So his wife immediately looked to his sons and said, "Don't you touch anything." And then as they're walking through St. Peter's Basilica, one of the sons notices this boy in a wheelchair, and he goes running for him. You know, they've been involved in healing ministry for quite some time. He goes running to him, you know, like a kid in a candy store.
Like, oh, great.
And his brother sees what he sees, and he goes running also. And then the father, you know, he says he ran too, but, you know, he was really like a very fast walk, you know, and he ran out of breath as soon as he got there, so he wasn't able to say much until he got his breath. But as he was trying to get his breath back, you know, you have one of the sons say, "Are you in a wheelchair?" "Yes." "Okay. How long have you been in a wheelchair?" "All my life. I've been in a wheelchair ever since I was born. You know, I had some, you know, deficiencies in my body growing up. And if you want, Jesus can heal you." And the mom looked at the sons and looked at the father who's still catching his breath and said, "Oh no, I know you people. No, no, no. Step away from my son. Don't want anything to do with you." And the father's like, "Oh, we've done this. We've done this before. Trust us. We're not going to do anything that is going to put your son in danger. It's and everything that he's comfortable with, you know, we'll guide him. He's not going to be asked to do something he's not comfortable with. It'll be fine. It'll be fine." So the mother relents. Okay. And then the son says, "Hey, everybody, who wants to see a miracle?" And so many of the people there at St. Peter's Basilica went over to them. And then as the gathering had stopped amassing in number, you know, the son starts praying a very short prayer in the name of Jesus for healing. And guess what happened? You know, the boy says, you know, "Okay, you feel anything?" You know, and you know, those who are involved in healing ministry often ask that or say that beforehand, that something might happen. It's not necessarily an indication that God is doing something. Sometimes individuals feel something, sometimes they don't. Just because they don't doesn't mean they don't, that nothing is happening. God is still at work. But it also, if something is happening, it helps build faith. So he says, "You feel anything?" And the boys looked up to him and said, "Nope." "Okay, we're going to pray again." So he prays again. "All right, you feel anything?" "Mm-mm." "Okay, we're going to pray again." So he prays again. "All right, you feel anything?" "I think there's a little tingling on my right foot." "Okay, that's great. We're going to keep praying." Okay. So they prayed again. "Well, I feel something in my calf now. I didn't feel that before." "Great, we're going to keep praying." So they keep praying and praying and praying. Eventually it got to the point where the boy in the wheelchair was comfortable to stand up from his wheelchair. He says, "Well, lift me up. You know, I think I want to try this out because I think there's more and more things that are happening." And, you know, and so, right, that's building up his faith. So he gets pulled from his wheelchair and he starts walking a little bit as he's holding on to the boys, and so they keep praying for him and praying for him until finally the guy's running. The guy's running in the church, you know, and just giving glory to God, you know, glory to Jesus. And, you know, the boy looks at his watch and looks at his mom and said, "You guys can go back to the hotel. I'm going to stay here with these guys." And then afterwards, they went to have lunch at a pizzeria. And the dad was kind of thinking how great it was that his sons witnessed to the beautiful healing power of Jesus Christ. And he kind of thought that he wanted his moment too with Jesus. So they're there sitting, and he sees someone come in who's either on crutches or also on a wheelchair. And he says, "Oh good, my son hasn't seen this because he's busy stuffing his face with cheese. So I'm going to go over there and then I'm going to pray for that guy." So he goes over there. He introduces himself and he asks if he can pray for him. He says, "Yeah, sure." So he prays for him. Nothing happens. And this goes back and forth a number of times. And then finally the guy says, "You know, that's enough. That's okay." And he says, "Well, no, nothing happened. Well, let me just pray another time." He says, No, that's all right. That's okay. "Say, can I buy you and your family lunch? And the guy says, well, I don't understand. You know, I didn't do anything for you. You know, I just tried to pray for you, and you know, nothing happened. And he said, I know. But I've been living here in Italy for over 20 years, and no one has offered to come and pray for me. And I just want to thank you and treat you to lunch. He said, no, you come and join us. You come and join us. And that's part of the mystery, the phenomena of healing. You know, that, you know, even though there are certain things that we try to get our ducks in a row, even though if we have everything just right, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's where healing is going to be found. You know, everything belongs to the purview of God. You know, everything is according to His will. Right? We see the tree; He sees the forest. He knows what's more that's going on, what's best for our sanctification and for the glory of the kingdom and the souls around us. However, that doesn't mean that when healing doesn't occur, that we should just give up. That we should just throw in the towel and just say, well, I guess this is God's way of telling me that I just need to offer things up. It could be, but I would dare say, you know, many of us don't normally persist in the way that we ought to. You know, we're so, you know, we give in because of what has been spoken of previously, or what is mostly known in our teaching in the Catholic faith, is the theology of suffering. True as that be, and as good as that is, we also have to be careful that we aren't using it as a security blanket, in a sense. Not to say that anyone looks forward to suffering, but at least offering it up does merit some good. But it is to say that, you know, when we find ourselves not experiencing healing, we think, well, you know, at least I can always rely back on this particular theology and offer it up. And then we close ourselves, though, from potential healing, from opportunities that might usher that in. Just this past July, we had the Unbound Prayer Conference. This August, we had the Intergenerational Healing Service. And, you know, there were, at least we had about 60 people at the Intergenerational Healing Service, the Unbound Prayer Conference, probably about half. But, you know, some of the argument that is brought to me is that, you know, they've said, well, I've said my prayers. And I just want to say, you know, if we knew and understood that, you know, this is maybe where God has been preparing us all this time to receive healing, wouldn't we not want to drop everything to go? Wouldn't we want not to drop our schedules, our priorities, so that we can go? Like, if we know that Jesus is going to be there. Those who came to the Intergenerational Healing Service, wow, you know, amazing, you know, just floored, you know, the amount of healings that were given that night. It was such a beautiful experience. And the Lord is lamenting at the fact that, you know, there's so many of these opportunities that, you know, are we taking advantage of it? You know, if we knew, right, we're suffering with a particular malady, with a particular sin, or there's someone in our family that's hurting, you know, is it not worth it to go and ask for healing there? You know, again, sometimes we don't know how to pray as we ought. These are ways by which we can encounter that, because Jesus does indeed heal today. Next month, in October, there's going to be a seminar that's dedicated about healing, whether about praying for others or receiving healing. Just kind of give an encouragement that, you know, that has somewhat piqued your interest. If you want to see the supernatural in your life, if you want to see more in terms of your Catholic faith and see the Holy Spirit powerfully at work, you know, that's a invitation for you. You know, it's such an awesome thing to be a part of, to see those things, to witness those things. Because Jesus does heal today. I mean, we could definitely be content with just hearing these stories and say, well, that's nice, that's great, you know, good for the past, good for Jesus, good for the Israelites. Or we can say, wow, Jesus, thank you, and I know that's for me today. And I know I can see that now. And I know that if I have faith and trust and everything is given over to you, wow, Lord, you can do a great thing in my life. Do we have faith? Do we have trust? Is our story simply that about checking in, punching in, going to Mass, going to church, doing something nice every once in a while? Or do we desire to see the miraculous, to see what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives?